Marine. This is Mont. And somebody else has arrived.
Good morning, this is Anita.
Good morning, Anita.
Morning, Monty, it's Betty.
Morning, Betty.
Good morning, Betty.
Morning, how are you both?
I'm doing all right. I got a late morning again this morning, so it's good to be on. We're winding down.
Good morning, all. Welcome to Friday.
Good morning, Steve.
Hi, Monty. This is Dottie.
Hello, Dottie.
How are you?
Great. How's things going your way?
Oh, they're going pretty good. They are. Very good, thanks.
Good.
I'm going away to the Cape this weekend, so it should be fun. I come from Massachusetts, if you didn't know that. And I remember when I first married her, has arrived here all the time.
Hear what you said. Somebody came on the line.
This is Mary Lou. Good morning.
Good morning, Mary Lou. Oh, here it is, April the 5th.
Can't believe it, can you?
A month starting out. Good things are happening in the business. And, of course, in life itself.
Mm-hmm.
Excited about being here. Woke up this morning above ground. Breathing. And I knew I was going to have a good day no matter what happened.
That's the way to be.
Yeah, you got to be nowadays. I'll tell you, with so many things going on.
Oh, we got to think about each breath we have if that's going to be it, you know, with all the violence. So we've got to be positive.
Yeah, it pays better for our mind, too. Does anybody have anything that you'd like to bring up this morning? Anything great happen or an aha or that you might want to mention? Something you've heard about? Okay, well,
downline that I didn't think she was going to renew, and I told her quite a bit about the Bible balance, and she was excited about it. So you never know what's going to happen, you know. So that was good. She just
real busy. You never know what people are going to get excited about, I'll tell you.
You really don't.
That's one of the reasons I think it's important that we keep as much of our informed of kind of what's going on and new things that are happening. I think it's very important because we never know what it is.
We sure don't. What's going to help with somebody deciding if they would like to try it or do it or share it with others?
Right. Well, again, you know, the purpose of the call is to support, educate, and let our minds venture into the world of wisdom and knowledge and try to become better individuals, and particularly in regards to our health. That's very important, and most of us always want to live as healthy as we can live and not have as many discomforts as other people have, but know that when our day comes, that day will come, and we'll try to be as healthy as we possibly can until then. One of the things that I talked about last Friday was vitamin D, and I...
has arrived.
And I did some talking about that from a book by the gentleman by Michael F. Hawley. So one of the things that...
has arrived.
One of the things that I don't think a lot of people understand is, are you basically deficient or insufficient in vitamin D? So what I'm going to do a little bit today is we'll do some quick reading, and then you might want to either have a pencil handy or whatever, because we're going to take a real quick, what's called a pop quiz, to determine if possibly we are deficient or insufficient in regards to vitamin D. And so the way I'd like to start it is, when the body aches for something it needs, it often has a way of telling us. In other words, when we're dehydrated, thirst signals from the brain encourage us to drink. The same goes for being fuel deficient or hunger, sleep deprived, drowsiness, and even faced with serious danger. The famous fight or flight stress response amplifies how the body maintains its own brilliant survival system for life. Even animals, in fact, survive by similar mechanisms that don't require a high IQ or PhD, much less a complex brain that can ruminate over the past about the future. What about sensing a vitamin D deficiency? How do you know that you're vitamin D deficiency? Well, here's some questions that I'm going to ask, and basically you can either make a mark on a piece of paper or keep it kind of in your mind. We're going to go through about 20 quick questions, if you don't mind, and this will give you some indication. One of the first question is, I rarely go out in the sun. The second one is, I wear sunblock and cover up my skin when I get out in the sun, especially during the summer months or when I'm outside in the middle of the day. My wardrobe typically covers most of my skin, including arms and legs. I live above the 35 degrees latitude in the northern hemisphere. Now, if that means if you live above Atlanta or Los Angeles, that puts you in what's called the northern hemisphere. I do not take a multivitamin along with my vitamin D supplement every day. I do not take a separate vitamin D supplement every day. I do not eat wild, oily fish, salmon, mackerel, herring, sardines, 2 or 3 days a week. I do not eat a lot of mushroom. I drank fewer than 10 glasses of fortified milk, which I would hope. That was my little insertion there. I am naturally dark-skinned or of African or Hispanic descent. I am older than 60. I am younger than 20. I am overweight and carry considerable amount of extra poundage. When I press firmly on my sternum, that's your breastbone, with my thumb or forefinger, it hurts. When I press firmly on my shin,
the letter has arrived.
I feel like I have less energy and muscle strength than I should. I take anti-seizure medications. I take glucocorticoids such as prednisone. I have celiac disease. I have intestinal disease. I have had gastric bypass surgery. If you checked any of the above boxes, then there's a high chance that you suffer from a vitamin D deficiency. If you check several boxes, then I encourage you to take part in a certain type of test. And that's one of the questions that came up, I think, last week when I talked about different types of vitamin D that's basically in our body. And I find this to be very important, and I think this is where some people have their vitamin D's tested by their doctors, but are they getting the right test for the right form of vitamin D that's there? And I'll go on and read. It says, the only surefire way to know for certain the extent of your vitamin D deficiency is to ask for a 25, that's the number 25, hydroxyvitamin D test. It's also called the 25 OHD test.
Has arrived.
I think that we need to really listen. And what this checks is, again, this checks the circulating form of vitamin D that the liver generates and that becomes activated by the kidneys. While it's routine to think you'd want to test for the body's active form, rather than just a precursor, testing for the active vitamin D, which is the 125 vitamin D test, actually does not give an accurate portrayal of your vitamin D status. And here's the rub. Many doctors order the wrong test, and when the results come back showing a normal level of active vitamin D, they think everything is D-okay. You could, however, be suffering from a serious deficiency even though your active levels appear normal or even elevated. This may sound incomprehensible, but not once you understand a few facts about vitamin D biology. It goes on to say that the active form of vitamin D circulates at 1,000 times lower concentrate than 25 vitamin D. which when created by your body from a supplement, has a half-life, for those of you that understand that, and that's with the life of what we put in our mouths, has a half-life in your circulation of 2 to 3 weeks. The 25 vitamin D made by your body to response to sunlight, however, lasts twice as long in the body. And basically, half-life simply refers to the amount of time it takes the body to eliminate one half of the total amount of 25 vitamin D and 125 vitamin D in your blood. On the other hand, the active form of vitamin D has a half-life of only 2 or 4 hours, meaning that the concentration of vitamin D in your bloodstream is reduced by half every 2 to 4 hours. So where should vitamin D levels be? The unit measure used for vitamin D is what's called nanograms per millimeter. And most experts, myself included, that's the doctor here, agreed that vitamin D deficiency is defined as 25 vitamin D. Now that's the 25 vitamin D test, okay, of less than 20 nanograms per milliliter. Vitamin D insufficiency is 21 to 29. Now, when I went and had mine tested, the 25-hydroxy vitamin D test, I was at 30. To obtain the benefits of vitamin D for health, many experts recommend that blood levels be closer to 40 nanograms per millimeter. The reason for this is that higher levels have been associated with a decreased risk for cancer, heart disease, autoimmune disease, and so on. Vitamin D intoxication. I know we hear that about vitamin A, and we've heard about that about iron, and we talk, and some people, even one of the questions that I get when I talk to people about it, can't you overindulge in vitamin D? So let me continue. It says vitamin D intoxication is typically not seen until blood levels are above 150 to 200 nanograms per millimeter. Lifeguards, for example, are famous for touting levels of 25 vitamin D in the 100 nanogram per millimeter range, and you don't hear about them falling victim to vitamin D toxicity. And it's principally because they're getting most of their vitamin D from the sun, and it's impossible to get too much from that source. And when I read that and started to understand some of this stuff about vitamin D, that's when I wanted to get my blood test to make sure that I was getting the right figure. Now, why do age, place, and race matter? Well, age, for example, the older you are, the harder it is for your body to make the vitamin D from sunlight, because the precursor of vitamin D in the body declines with age. And I'm definitely at that situation. Lifestyle. The more time you spend indoors during daylight hours, the less opportunity you have to make vitamin D. The lifestyles of most Americans, Europeans, and others in wealthy nations far above the equator typically entail long indoor days and a fixation, I'll repeat that, and a fixation on avoiding the sun's UV rays during any time spent outside. And I find that true. People nowadays, when they go outside in the sun, they want to throw on sunblock, they want to wear a big hat to protect themselves and do whatever. So they're basically just not taking advantage of the sun in regards to health features. Now, that doesn't mean you go out in the sun for 4 to 5 hours a day without sunblock or without a hat. It's just being realistic. Also, geographically location. If you live in a place relatively long winters, you get less sun over the course of the year because the UV rays cannot hit the surface of the earth at the ideal angle for making vitamin D in the skin during these winter months. And that's why last week I stated that basically those of us in the northern hemisphere here do not get any benefit from the sun whatsoever. Possibly you get a little bit more though if you're in some place like Phoenix and that or those areas. But most of us, and where I live, we actually get no benefit whatsoever from the sun. So seeing that vitamin D can be stored, that what that means is that as our winters increase, our vitamin D deficiency goes down, and that's gets less. And race has an awful lot to do with it. People with very dark skin, especially those of African descent, find it difficult to take vitamin D from limited sunlight, as their ancestors involved in the part of the world where sunshine was available all year round. The darker your skin, the less benefit you will get from the sun in making vitamin D. This thing has to do with culture. Certain cultures require that their women cover themselves entirely in heavy clothing that block out the sun. This may explain why studies done on people in sunny spots, most of the Middle East and India, have found widespread vitamin D deficiency. So basically, who should take the test? Well, if any of those questions that I asked you earlier kind of popped up in your mind, and those were things that you need to think about, and understanding that the sun's UV doesn't affect us here in Northern America, Northern Hemisphere, during the winter, and if you understand vitamin D and what it actually does for the body in regards to help our body fight all these situations, that diseases that can occur, that's one of the reasons that I think vitamin D is very, very important. And he goes on to say that basically what he does during the winter is he takes an additional 2,500 units of vitamin D to keep his nanograms up above the 50 level. I personally, because where I was at in reading the whole entire book, mine was at 30, but I wanted to get mine at 50, and I take 5,000 units of vitamin D daily, because I really now understand why it's so, so important to our bodies to have that vitamin D deficiency all year round. Anybody have any questions or any ideas or suggestions? And I want to state one thing. When I read books or I hear about research and that sort of information, I try to always validate that in some form. And of course, my validation for this was to go to an independent laboratory who does most of our blood testing here in the area for doctors, which I could purchase the test through, it's called Life Extensions, and have my own, and go and I pay for it, and I go get my own independent blood work done. Does anybody have any questions or any comments or that you might have?
I have a couple of questions. So you said that we're echoing.
Yeah, I know.
What was the low and what was the deficient number again, please? Yeah.
I believe the, I believe it was 19, 20 or below was deficient, and from 20 to 30, here it goes, it says, with the vitamin deficiency defined as vitamin D, less than 20 nanograms per millimeter, vitamin D efficiency is 21 to 29 nanograms per millimeter. And vitamin D sufficiency begins at 30 nanograms per milliliter. And I know I've had this, I've had a lot of people have said, well, my doctor says my vitamin D levels are good, or I checked on my vitamin, or my lab report, and it just stated vitamin D. Well, my question to that person, and most of them can't answer it, was it a 25 hydroxy vitamin D test? Normally, it's just an I-25 vitamin D test.
So 21 is deficient, but 20 is low? That seems like the number should be reversed.
Deficiency is defined as
not enough.
Less than 20 deficiency.
Go ahead.
Is 20 nanograms per millimeter, less than 20 nanograms.
It's deficient. Then what was low?
No, that is... Oh, That is deficient. Are we,
okay.
Are we in tune there? It's like Way, I think, the other day talked about a lady that took her, had her test and found out that it was a 9.
Okay.
But she was deficient, okay?
So less than 21 is deficient.
Yes.
I thought you said that low is less than 20.
Low is less than 20. 21 to 29 nanograms per millimeter are insufficiency.
Oh, insufficient. Okay.
Yes. In other words, you're still low, but you're
okay.
not.
Okay.
Okay. And then above 30 and above was sufficient.
Okay. And the name of the test is the 25O, as in Oscar, H as in Henry, D as in David?
It's the 25O, yes, OHD.
It seems to me that, oh, more, I guess at least several years ago, Oz mentioned that a wonderful natural sunscreen is, and don't quote me on this amount, but I think it was like 2 tablespoons of tomato puree or tomato paste a day as a natural sunscreen.
Yeah. There are a lot of natural things out there that are good and can work for sunscreen. One of the things that we were studying, coconut oil, in another call that I was on with Ruth about a year or so ago, we did some experimentation, and Ruth and one of the other ladies, I think by the name of Joan, they actually did it by taking coconut oil and rubbing it on their skin on one arm and on one side and nothing on the other side. And basically the arm that didn't have the coconut oil on it started to get red and pinkish and started to burn. Well, not, they didn't stay in there that long, but the other one with coconut oil rubbed on prior to going out in the sun, wasn't affected at all.
Wow.
So there's a lot of natural things out there that people can utilize.
And it should allow the rays to get in for the D that we need.
Right.
Good.
That's
Monty, what?
Go ahead.
No, I'm finished.
Marty?
Yes.
This is Loretta. Interesting. I just got off the phone just before this call with my nurse, and I had just, my vitamin B level was at 22, so
uh-huh.
my doctor wanted me to take this pill for 6 weeks to bring it up, and I've just finished taking them, and I just got the results of that. He said it's now up to 50. And I said, well, what should it be? And she said, well, it could go up to 100. So they recommended that I take vitamin D3. I wonder if I got the right test. Now I think I better go back and have them get the one that you said. But
yeah, I don't even know if it was the right test or not. But with the nanograms, I've been reading the book and doing the research on my own. I find the higher the nanogram is, the better it is. And like they said, there's that almost no way to, yes, you can become toxic in vitamin D, but it, in most cases, it very seldom happens. But I would do what your doctor advises, because I have no definite medical.
Well, what my doctor advised me, echo, anyway, advised me to do 8,000. A day, and it was just like almost impossible even during the summertime to get the amount that I needed because I just don't spend that much time out there. The other thing, if people are going to use a sunblock, I would go to the EWG, the Environmental Working Group, and they have tested. It's non-political. It's not funded by any money coming from any regular sources like we'd be doing it. That's why they ask for donations all the time. And, they do their own independent studies, and they did a huge one. Now, I don't know, I'm sure they probably update it every year or close or watch the ingredients on them changing. If someone company would make one that was much better, I'm sure we'd hear about it through their report. But anyway, it's a beginning guideline for all the ones on the market that are totally unsafe to use on our bodies because of the chemical compounds. So I wouldn't. You know, I always suggest when people are going after a sunscreen to go out and make sure they check that so they're not buying something that's going to just multiply the problem.
Yeah, one of the other things they mentioned about sunscreen, and it's always good, a lot, A lot of times people put it on right away before they go out in the sun. And basically, one of the recommendation was to carry it with you. And when you've been in the sun for like 10 or 15 minutes or 20 minutes, based upon your skin color and how fast you start to turn pink or whatever, that at least do it without a sunblock on for at least 10 to 15 or whatever time frame based upon your skin again, and then apply the natural sun blockers at that time.
That's what we were also given in the same warning for parents sending their children out. Let them have some sun before you put the sunblock on, because they desperately need it also.
Absolutely.
I have a question. I'm reading my lab report, and it says for vitamin D, 25-hydroxy, and then it says at the bottom, this assay accurately quantifies the sum of vitamin D3, 25-hydroxy, and vitamin D2, 25-hydroxy. So I guess they are giving me the correct test. But you also, it's important, as we mentioned a couple of days ago, to have your blood tested twice a year before the summer and after, because especially for those who do get out in the sun sometime.
Well, that'll give you a real good indication of, particularly at the end of the winter, basically how much you are becoming depleted in vitamin D.
And it goes without saying, it does not carry over from one year to the next, so it's going to be different each year for the what your activities are and where you're spending your time and all of that, and age.
That's true. Sounds like, Nancy, you have your doctor prescribe the right test for you. One of the reasons they don't prescribe the right test for people is that Medicare sometimes will not pay for the 25-hydroxy one. So
I remember the first time I asked for my vitamin D, and this was with my other doctor, my prior PCP. He said, well, you know, insurance may not cover that. I said, I don't care. I still want it. This was probably around the time I went to Manger. When it was first coming to the fore.
Well, I think, the reason I'm talking about it, vitamin D, is I think it's one of the things that sometimes we always talk about multi-supplements and everything else, but vitamin D in a lot of cases never gets brought up, and I feel it's very, very important for people.
You know, that one 29-minute video on YouTube done by a woman with a jacket on, and I mean very professional looking, the information that she assimilated from the study that she was sitting in on, where it was a symposium on vitamin D3, I'll never forget when I first saw that. It was like in the middle of the night, because we had to go after propane for our motorhome, and I heard them say that with as little as a nickel's worth of vitamin D a day, that within 5 years they could wipe out type 2 diabetes because of the way the body would be functioning. And I go, that was really a strong statement. Now, you know, maybe there's been more research added to it since then. That's great. But that was what they had found through the symposium. The reflection of the conditions, because our lifestyles have changed so much for one thing, and then also all the other things that interfere with it. So I thought, this, you know, my gosh, with so little, because it's very inexpensive, and I've energy tested some of the D at the one I use is from Costco. It's very available to get, and it doesn't have to be something that's bought as a prescription or anything like that either, obviously. I'm sure you've discovered that too. Monty?
Yep. I'm getting ready to go over and get my 25-hydroxy test taken again here in another month. And I just want to see exactly, Kim, that's the way I validate things. It's my body, because we're all different and we react differently to different things. So. But I just thought it was a good subject to be discussed, and one of the reasons I don't think we hear an awful lot about the good things that's going on in research and whatever is that and I don't want to get into this too heavy, but the drug companies and a lot of other people don't want us to get that information. But because of technology and everything else that's now available for us, and, it's now still a lot of that stuff starting to come out that we should have heard years ago. absolutely that they knew all about a long time ago and a lot of different things. You know, I just read an article yesterday. It had to do with that, how thousands of cancer patients are now being unintended victims of budget cuts. You know, and I thought about that, and I think it was in New York. It says thousands of Medicare patients are being denied treatment at clinics nationwide because of federal budget cuts retained by the so-called sequester. Well, that's one of the things, and I read that, I thought, boy, what a reason to build a business, you know. I find that people that have additional income coming in or whatever, healthcare is always out there. Unfortunately, healthcare, usually good healthcare, costs money. And with the world going to where it's at and things are happening here, I think it's very important to build a business to have some funds available to protect ourselves from the healthcare industry.
And the other half of it is prevention is your best treatment. And your least expensive, and your most comfortable treatment also, and gives the best prognosis by far.
There's a company out there, I think that's the number one or the only wellness company in the world. I would really do some checking on that if I was you folks, because my opinion, a company that does takes that upon the burden upon themselves to find a way to help people, you know, that's an absolutely credible and can definitely be validated company. So I guess if there's nothing else that we'd like to talk about today. Oh, by the way,
two thumbs up.
Marty.
He's called. Okay.
Marty.
I think we're going to wrap it if nobody else has got any questions here. And everybody go out and have a great weekend. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy your life.
Monty.
Enjoy your family. And even enjoy the next door neighbor. Have a great day.
Monty, we'll Loretta. Okay. I think he's not hearing.
Thank you. I just had two questions. I wanted to ask Shar.
Has left the conference.
But I don't remember the website. Do you remember what it was?
I think it's EWG, and I believe it's .com. Shar, are you there?
I believe it's .com, yes. It is EWG for Environmental Working Group, but they go under EWG.
And that's the one that had the video with the lady with the red jacket?
Oh, no, no. Just go on to YouTube and type in for that. That was for the skincare, sunblock, excuse me. And, no, just go into YouTube and type in cancer, vitamin D and cancer. Or, yeah, vitamin D and cancer. Yeah, vitamin D and cancer, or cancer and vitamin D, one way or the other, it probably doesn't matter. And you'll, and look for the 29-minute one. You'll see her picture on the opening page, even the still picture. And, she's got a 5-minute one in there, and then there's one with her and a gentleman. But the best one that delivers the most is a 29-minute, long.
I remember that was a very good one.
Yeah, it's excellent. And it's good to do a refresher on it because we can't retain everything. So, anyway, that's the way
I have it. Marty, I wanted to ask you, where did you get the information from that you was reading from this morning?
It's a book called The Vitamin D Solution, A Three-Step Strategy to Our Common Health Problems by a gentleman by the name of Michael Hollick, H-O-L-I-C-K. And the forward is by Dr., I think his name is Andrew Wheel.
Yeah.
I've heard of him before.
Yeah, I know who that is.
Okay. Like I say, books, you know, there's different authors and different thoughts. That's why I think it's important to find those that you believe in and have confidence in.
Yeah. Thank you. That was a very good call.
Thank you for being here. Appreciate it.
Do you know who's on the call tomorrow?
You mean the one in the Vance's call?
Vance's call.
I don't know. There's also another call in the morning, too, I believe. And that is when I should have mentioned it earlier, and that it's a Bojabi call, and it's with Dave Balzer. I think it's 8 o'clock in the morning, and it's at, it's a Bojabi call is what it is. Do you get Dave Johnson's emails?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. Just give me a second here.
Is that 8 o'clock Eastern?
No, I think it's,
it's Pacific time.
Okay, so yeah. 11
o'clock. Yeah, and there's a link in the SaturdayAMLive.com listings for the Bojavi links. Maybe a month ago or so, for a month or so, every call we had a link in there to the different Bojavi calls. So it's the one about that has opportunity in it.
What is Bojavi?
Bojavi is a way of being on the computer and streaming the call, seeing the video of the call and the audio all on the computer. You don't have to cut. It's not like a WebEx where you have to use a telephone and a computer.
Do you have an email address?
Yes.
Could you give it to me?
Sure. It's COOKEY cookie.
Yep.
718 at Beeline. BEELINE - online ONLINE .net.
I'll try to send it to you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
the link. And all you'd have to do when you get the link, if I get it to you, that all you got to do at about 7:55 in the morning Pacific time. Now I don't know. Okay, I mean that's Pacific time. You just click on that link, and a screen should come up, and just, it might not look like there's nothing going on, but just stay there, and eventually they'll come on. I'm sure Dave Johnson and Dave Balzer, and I don't know who else, but he's going to be talking about the vital balance, the stuff. So I'll try and send this to you, okay?
Thank you so much.
You have to do it on a computer. Better if it's landline, or plugged in instead of streaming wireless. And it will not work with a phone. They've got a block, so you can't go on with a phone.
I have the wireless.
Okay. Yeah, it'll work with the wireless most of the time, but it's better if you have a hardwired connection with the Ethernet cord.
Yeah, the quality might not be as good. Okay.
I'm going to try to record it in the morning.
Good, Steve. And then where would that be?
It'll just be on the, on the allswell.org, probably under, I don't know, I haven't decided where I'll put it.
Okay,
maybe under the, Freedom Night link, I don't know, either Freedom Night or the Nick Night, I'm not sure, or Nick link, but I'm not sure. Great.
Thank you, sir.
Have a great one, everybody. Bye now.
You too.
Bye-bye.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.